of 1925, Robert did something so stupid that it seemed calculated to prove that his emotional distress was overwhelming him. Consumed by feelings of inadequacy and intense jealousy, he, quote-unquote, poisoned an apple with chemicals from the laboratory and left it on Blackett's desk. Jeffries Wyman later said, "Whether or not this was an imaginary apple or a real apple, whatever it was an act of jealousy." Fortunately, Blackett did not eat the apple, but university officials somehow were informed of the incident. As Robert himself confessed to Ferguson 2 months later, he had kind of poisoned the head steward. It seemed incredible, but that was what he said, and he had actually used cyanide or something somewhere, and fortunately the tutor discovered it. Of course, there was hell to pay with Cambridge. If the alleged poison was potentially lethal, what Robert had done amounted to attempted murder. But this seems improbable, given what happened next. More likely, Robert had laced the apple with something that merely would have made Blackett sick, but this was still a serious matter, and grounds for expulsion. As Robert's parents were still visiting Cambridge, the university authorities immediately informed them of what had happened. Julius Oppenheimer frantically and successfully lobbied the university not to press criminal charges. After protracted negotiations, it was agreed that Robert would be put on probation and have regular sessions with a prominent Harley Street psychiatrist in London. As Robert's old ethical culture school mentor Herbert Smith put it, "He was retained at Cambridge for a while only on condition that he had periodic interviews with a psychiatrist." Robert traveled to London for regularly scheduled sessions, but it was not a good experience. A Freudian psychoanalyst diagnosed dementia praecox, a now archaic label for symptoms associated with schizophrenia. He concluded that Oppenheimer was a hopeless case and that further analysis would do more harm than good. Ferguson went to meet Oppenheimer one day just after Robert had finished a session with the psychiatrist. "He looked crazy at that time. I saw him standing on the corner waiting for me with his hat on one side of his head, looking absolutely weird. He was sort of standing around, looking like he might run or do something drastic." The two old friends took off together at a more than brisk pace, Robert walking his peculiar walk with his feet turned out at a severe angle. "I asked him how it had been. He said that the guy was too stupid to follow him and that he knew more about his troubles than the doctor did, which was probably true." At the time, Ferguson was still unaware of the poisoned apple incident, so he did not understand what had precipitated the psychiatric visits. And though he could see that Robert was in considerable distress, he nevertheless had confidence that his friend had the ability to bring himself up, to figure out what his trouble was and to deal with it. The crisis, however, had not passed. During the Christmas holidays, Robert found himself walking along the Brittany coast near the village of Cancale, where his parents had taken him for the holiday. It was a rainy, dreary winter day, and years later Oppenheimer said he had a vivid realization. "I was on the point of bumping myself off. This was chronic." Sometime shortly after New Year's, 1926, Ferguson arranged to meet Oppenheimer in Paris, where Robert's parents had taken him for the remainder of the 6-week-long winter break. On one of their long walks through the streets of Paris, Robert finally confided in his friend, explaining what had precipitated his visits to the London psychiatrist. At this point, Robert thought the Cambridge authorities might not even let him return. "My reaction was dismay," Ferguson recalled. "But then, when he talked about it, I thought he had sort of gone beyond it and that he was having trouble with his father." Robert acknowledged that his parents were very worried, that they were trying to help him, but that they were not succeeding. Robert was getting very little sleep, and, according to Ferguson, he began to get very queer. One morning, he locked his mother in her hotel room and left. Ella was furious. After this incident, Ella insisted that he see a French psychoanalyst. After several sessions, this doctor announced that Robert was suffering a crise morale associated with sexual frustration. He prescribed une femme and a course of aphrodisiacs. Years later, Ferguson observed of that time, "Robert was completely at a loss about his sex life." Soon, Robert's emotional crisis took another violent turn. Sitting in his Paris hotel room with Robert, Ferguson sensed that his friend was in one of his ambiguous moods. Perhaps in an attempt to divert him from his depression, Ferguson showed him some poetry written by his girlfriend, Frances Keeley, and then announced that he had proposed to Keeley and she had accepted. Robert was stunned at this news, and he snapped. "I leaned over to pick up a book," Ferguson recalled, "and he jumped on me from behind with a trunk strap and wound it around my neck. I was quite scared for a little while. We must have made some noise, and then I managed to pull aside and he fell on the ground, weeping."